the South Congress podcast.
Hey guys, just to let you know, this was an interview done over the phone, so the audio is going to be a little bit choppy at points. But yeah, it's an interview with me and Seth Rollins about a week before WrestleMania, so enjoy.
The South Congress podcast is a lifestyle show that sometimes crosses over into mature territory. The views expressed are those of the hosts and guests who come from different backgrounds and experiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Thank you very much. Hey, Seth, I appreciate your time today.
No worries, man.
Okay, perfect. So, first question, most important question. If you were in charge, would you be drafting Caleb or would you have built around Justin?
Well, my feeling was to have kept Justin Fields. That was my indication. But I am not an NFL general manager for a reason. So the Bears front office, you know, made a decision that they think is going to be best for the organization in the long term. And I'm excited to see what the kid brings to the table. He's obviously super talented, all the potential in the world. Great off season for the Bears and a lot of potential around him this season. So, you know, he's coming in with a lot of expectations. I hope he can handle it.
I'm a Texas X, so I got to see those expectations first. It was not a great Saturday for me that very first time. But so the reason I ask you that, though, while I understand you are not an NFL GM, other guys who were around when you were around, maybe a little bit before, maybe a little bit after, depending on the situation, were either asked to leave WWE or left WWE on their own accord. And, you know, during the last 12, almost 15 years, you were the constant. Is there a right way to go about this in your profession, in your company? Or do you think it's kind of worked out best for all parties? And I mean, you, the Codys, the Punks, the Drews, what do you think about just the situation and the trajectory for you guys overall?
Well, business is business, you know. I don't think there's any right way to go about any of it. I think everybody's business individually is going to be different too, and their mindset and how they want to approach things is going to be different too. So, like, I kind of don't pass a whole lot of judgment on anybody. If they think they're not being used up to their potential, and they want to go take their talents elsewhere, they don't like how things are being run at a certain place, you know, now they have an opportunity to go to a couple other places and you know, make a name for themselves. And that's great. And I think at the end of the day, like, having options for performers is only going to make the business stronger, and it's only going to make WWE stronger. And so right now, the talent roster that we have is second to none, in my opinion. The production, the team, the creative, all of it is firing on all cylinders. You look at this past Monday's Raw, and I told someone probably about two-thirds of the way through the show before it was actually over, I said, I think this – in 12 years that I've been here, I think this is maybe the best episode of Monday Night Raw I've ever been a part of. And that's saying a lot, because I've been, as you mentioned, a part of a lot of them. And this was one that was super special. You had incredible talent across the board, everybody pushing boundaries in front of an electric hot crowd in Chicago. And so I think industry's in a really good place, and like I said, I pass judgment on no one, man. You got to do what's best for you, and that goes for both sides of it, whether you're you know, part of a company that needs to decide what's best for their future, or you're an individual trying to figure out what's best for you, man. Things work out the way they're supposed to.
Are you personally, and I understand the company being where it is, and again, great Raw, at least that first hour, I don't remember being as tuned into a first hour of Raw ever like that. Well, at least as an adult, I don't want to say ever, but are you right now today in body, in mind, in positioning, do you think you were in the best position you've ever been in?
Oh, no doubt, man. No question. I feel like, I'm, you know, about to be 38 in May, and I'm like right in my prime. Like, my mental and my physical are right in the, like, that's this perfect space. And I think the next 5 years especially, I'm going to be able to really, really hone it in and kick it into gear. But right now, dude, I'm having a great time. I'm out there with the audience. We're having a blast. Every single live event, every single television, every single pay-per-view. I'm getting to be able to be in the ring with guys who are extremely experienced and extremely good at what they do. And we're all just elevating each other's game. And so, like, I feel like this is easily the best version of Seth Rollins that we've seen so far. But with that said, I do think the best is yet to come.
Absolutely. Let me tell you my favorite Seth Rollins moment. And it's not even a match. It's kind of an experience. WWE Stomping Grounds, pay-per-view from a few years back. You kind of picked up the company torch, not just in performance, but you went out of your way to be really vocal about the talent of the roster. Even at that point, you felt like you had the best roster going. You wanted to make sure that they were getting their propers from both, you know, social media and the industry. Was there anything in particular that kind of made you come out as vocal as you did at that time? Was it your position on the roster? Was it just a feeling raw in the moment? If you even kind of remember that, what was that really for you?
Well, you know, not everybody has taken this stance over the years, but to me, WWE is my home, right? Mm-hmm. These people that I go to battle with every week on these live events and these TVs, and I'm not talking just the talent, I'm talking about the whole team, the production, the creative, you know, everybody from top to bottom. These people, I've been around for years to the point you're mentioning, and these people have been like my family. And so to, you know, sometimes closer than my family, because I spend more time on the road with them than I had, you know, my actual family. And so when you see kind of this backlash against your family, you see people talking about your family in a negative light, as if, you know, their feelings don't matter, as if, like, they're not real people, they're not going to see this, they're not going to respond to this, they don't care, it's the internet, I can do whatever I want. This, like, kind of faceless, nameless, like, just spewing of venom that happens on social media nowadays. I got to a breaking point with it, and I just said, you know what, somebody should stick up for us, because we're the New York Yankees, right? So, like, we're at the top, and no one's going to stick up for us. No one's going to stand up for us. No one's going to say what we think about this place and about this criticism. And I guess at that point, you know, I had just reached my limit, and I pushed back and said, look, we're the best, man. I don't care, love it or hate it, we're the best. And I've been a proponent of these people and my family and had their back for years because I believe that. And I believe in the work that we all put in together to make this industry the best it possibly can be. And so, yeah, I felt like we deserved a voice too. You know, we put up with it, and that's part of the game. When you're the Yankees, you just eat it sometimes, most of the time. But I didn't feel like eating it anymore. I felt like pushing back a little bit. And now when you look back on it, here we are some 4 or 5 years, 6 years later, whatever it is. I hate to say I told you so, but here we are, man. Hottest the company has ever been.
Absolutely, absolutely. I something that always stuck out about you to me was that you did take your stepfather's last name. So when you talk about family being who you're with, who matters to you, who's important, I always kind of drew parallels between those two moments. So yeah, definitely with you. And to make a joke of it all, you can't call Ospreay broke anymore. So next time y'all got beef, it's got to be something different.
I wasn't calling him broke. I was saying he hadn't drawn any money. That's what I was saying.
Okay.
I said old Billy Ocean hadn't drawn no money yet, all right? He can do all the flips and tricks in the world, but he ain't drawn a dime. And this business is about making money. So when you can make my money, when you can draw a dime, then we can have a conversation about who the best is. And I'll give Billy all the credit in the world, man. He has grown so much as a performer. He's one of the absolute best. I'm so proud of him and what he's been able to accomplish. He is absolutely one of the best performers in the world, and I'm happy that he is finally, you know, getting to the very top level, in our industry. It's awesome. And look, I don't want to kill any heat, but I think we're not going to be in the ring anytime soon together. And he and I have had conversations back and forth. So that whatever the internet thinks is there, it's not as big as they believe it to be.
I won't let them clip it the wrong way. Don't worry. So let me ask you this, and it's kind of an extension of kind of the first thing we talked about. You, Roman, and Moxley, are all three of you in your most ideal spots, giving what you know about yourself, what you know about those guys, and what they bring to the table?
Yeah, I mean, look, our goal in the beginning was never to be a group forever. We were all using the Shield as a catalyst to take over the industry and to rebuild it in our image. And if you look at where all of us are sitting right now, I think we're exactly where we thought we would be in some capacity 12 years ago when we started this journey together. You know, Mox is over in AEW being a revolutionary, trying to reframe everything in his image. Roman sits at the head of the table as he believes he should. And here I am, hustling, busting my ass every single week to try to make the future of the industry better. And so I think that that's where we always saw ourselves. And it's awesome that we're here and we're leading the charge for the next generation and what the future of business is going to look like. That's what we always wanted to do was cut the stagnation and move the thing forward.
Greatness is super subjective, but to me, you were John Cena's last great feud. What does it mean to you to have been in a position, Seth Rollins in the main event with John Cena in the main event, at, you know, kind of still the peak of his powers, and you really getting to show, even though you're younger in the game than just all your athleticism, like somebody just brought up that spot with you jumping over the table at full speed. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what he does. Yeah. What does it mean to you to be in that position with him? You know, while he's kind of winding down at that point and you're on an upswing.
Well, anytime I had an opportunity to be in the ring with John, whether it was cutting a promo or having a match, I never took it for granted because I knew that being in there with John, the spotlight was going to be as bright as it will ever be. And it was important for me to level up my game, because John's one of the best to ever do it. And so you have to reach his level, you know, to stand out, and you have to find a way to do that. And so early in my career, you know, the stories of your matches you're mentioning, especially, you know, I wasn't the best talker in the game, but I knew in the ring I could keep up. I could wow people. I could take John to the next level. And so that was the name of my game, man. And anytime I was in there, I tried to learn from him. I tried to like take a little bit of his secret sauce, you know, and add it to my world and see what I could do and see what I could glean from being in there with him. Like I said, one of the best to ever do it. It was always an honor and a privilege to be in there with him. I mean, hell, as recent as last year, he and I teamed in India for a tag match. And, you know, I was still learning stuff being in there with John. It was an incredible experience. One of the loudest reactions I've ever heard in my life was John Cena making his entrance at that event. And so, you know, if you can take any bit from John and you know, try to help yourself or help pass it along to the next generation, you know, I think, like I said, it was always an honor for me to be in there with them.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've seen the Savages and the Miss Elizabeths and the DDPs and the Kimberlys and even in WWE, the Triple H's and Stephanie's. And what does it mean to you to have a partner on equal footing success-wise in real time? It's just so rare, watching like you and Becky's trajectory really just fly up at the same time. What does that mean to you? How do you guys decide we will do this together, we won't do this together? How does all that work? I mean, as briefly as you can put it.
I mean, look, we tried the on-screen thing. You know, the timing was not great for either of us, really. Our characters weren't in places where it made sense. We gave it a go. It didn't work out. I think if we revisit that in the future, it might be a whole different story. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, just being there for each other while we're at the top, I mean, it's incredible. It's awesome to have someone to look to for guidance, for help, for anything, for just a shoulder if you need to vent, that understands what you're going through. I mean, there's nothing... nothing like it. I don't think I'd be able to do what I do without her at such a high level. I mean, she's helped me through so many times of frustration or insecurity or just flat out anger. You know, she's been there for me and helped me out. And look, she's awesome. Like, she's one of the best to ever do it. And so she pushes me to be better. And I hope that I push her to be better. And so, you know, iron sharpens iron. And when we're rubbed up against each other all the time, we're only going to be in competition. And I think it's a healthy thing for both of us.
What did you find out that you didn't know about yourself in reading her book?
I didn't know I was so caring.
Hey, good problems, right? Yeah.
She's, you know, paints me in a very, like, a very sweet light. I guess I didn't know. I thought I was a little more stern than that, but I guess I'm a nice guy underneath it all.
There we go. Good stuff. Okay, so just a few more things. Initial fears of possibly missing WrestleMania due to an injury. What is that first couple of days like?
I mean, the first 2 days before I got the MRI results were, you know, I was real nervous. You know, I was having flashbacks to 2015 again. I thought, you know, maybe the ACL is gone and I'm going to, you know, this is going to be it. I'm going to miss WrestleMania. I have to give up the title again, the whole thing. I was having huge flashbacks. And, like, I know my knees pretty well now that I kind of had an idea of what the injury might be because it didn't feel like an ACL injury, but you never know. You know, they can play tricks on you sometimes. There's a lot of swelling that goes on down there, and it kind of makes it seem like it's one thing when it's actually another. So, I was very nervous, and I was hoping for the best. And fortunately, we got the best possible outcome.
Absolutely. Do you feel, to date, have you had your defining WrestleMania moment?
You know, I think the answer is I don't know because, and I don't mean to dodge.
It's a great answer because, I see where you're going. Keep going.
You're always trying to be the best version of yourself. None of us who are kind of slaves to this craft, to who are beholden to this perfectionist idea of always being better than we were the time, you know, the next time we go out, I think it's easy to go, okay, WrestleMania 31, cash in, main event, doesn't get any bigger than that. But I just don't have the mindset to say, I can't do better. I can't be bigger. I can't create some more magic that's going to supersede that. My mindset has always been, what's next? What's next? What's next? For better or worse, that's a double-edged sword sometimes. But I have to always believe that there's something new. There's something special. There's something bigger out there for me to achieve. That goal-oriented type personality is the only way I know how to move forward and how to grow. And so, you know, I won't be able to answer this question yes or no, I think, until I hang them up and we look back on it all and see what the biggest moment, most defining moment of my career is.
Something you're going to have to include in that is that you got The Rock and Roman Reigns next Saturday, and then you got Drew McIntyre on Sunday. That is quite a weekend. I don't even know what to ask. Just what's your mindset knowing you got all that on your plate, that this has all gone so well, and you are here part of the very biggest night in your industry two nights in a row?
Yeah, I mean, if you'd ask me about WrestleMania on January 1st of this year, I think it would have looked a lot different than where we're at now, just a little less than 2 weeks away. But I think where we're at now is, dude, it's a crazy timeline we're living in. I truly can't believe that we're sitting here talking about a tag match where I'm teaming with Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns and The Rock at WrestleMania. I mean, that's wild to me. That is wild. And then going on to defend the World Heavyweight Championship, a championship that did not exist this time last year, on night two of WrestleMania, in a match with this version of Drew McIntyre, and you've got CM Punk narrating my WrestleMania title match. Yeah. I mean, what timeline are we living in right now? You know, it's crazy, dude. It's crazy. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the challenge. I love a challenge, man. I love the idea that we've got these big stories all intertwining. We've got these massive egos and all these emotions running wild. And I love the fact that we've got two matches and two. I mean, I just love it. It's WrestleMania 40. It's WrestleMania XL, which is very appropriate for what we're doing here in Philadelphia. I'm so excited to see after the fact what the response is going to be, how it's all going to play out, and just to be a part of it. You know, my goal has always been to be on the marquee at WrestleMania, and here we are, you know. And the fact that I'm there with these three other guys is something that I never thought possible, but I don't feel like I'm out of place at all. I feel like I fit right in.
Absolutely. Our very last thing. I got a buddy named Jared who's working media for North Carolina. He's a journalist out there for a long time. And he used to hit me every week and say, Cam, you won't believe how long Cam Newton took to get dressed this week, and you won't believe what he has on. Another buddy of mine says, they're not outfits, they're get-ups. Seth, please, explain the get-ups to me. And somebody who loves them, explain them to me. Explain the fits to me. Where did that come from? How do you get the ideas? It's a new one every week. They're fun every single week. You had the JNCO suit with the corduroy buttons on it this week. It was great. Where are you getting these ideas from? What is the inspiration?
Well, the inspiration is fashion, man. Yeah. Fashion and style to WWE, right? We've been sitting here with dudes running down in t-shirts, and like, you look at Roman Reigns and he's just wearing his tracksuit all the time, and ain't nobody bringing style, you know. The girls bringing style, right? The girls, they got some wild looks, and they've been doing that for years. But the guys, nobody's doing nothing, man. And so a few years ago, I'm looking at the palette, and I'm, man, this is boring. Everybody's boring. But I was falling into the same trap. I was doing the same thing. I was wearing the black jeans and my merch t-shirt and maybe a hat from time to time. And I'm like, this is boring, man. And we're in the middle of this pandemic, and people need some fun, man. People need something to latch on to have a good time with. And so, you know, I reached out to my wife's stylist. I said, Troy, his name's King Troy. I said, what you got, man? What do you got for me that's going to make this whole thing pop? And it started with the suits. And every week we get some weird suits going on. And then I was like, you know what? Let's just go crazy. And he was like, yeah, let's get into some higher fashion looks and some stuff like that. And I said, dude, you know what? Let's ride. And it went from people making fun of it and laughing at it to now it's a weekly thing. It's a weekly occurrence. People are looking forward to seeing what I'm going to come out in. People are asking me questions about it. You know what I'm saying? It's taking on a life of its own, and it's awesome. I've been having a great time with it. I'm very chill. Like right now I'm in gray sweatpants and a black hoodie. That's my normal get up. So to be able to go out and put these different looks on and make them look good and have people talking about them, man, I dig it. It's a lot of fun, and I think we're just bringing style back, man. We got to bring some love to the men's fashion game, you know?
You are doing an excellent job. I'm very excited for you next weekend, man. I know you're going to crush it. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day, all right?
Cheers, brother. Absolutely. Take it easy.
The South Congress Podcast.